And I think there's a whole stack of other ideas out there. Bhagavad-vācha Bhūni me vyatītāni janmāni tava charjana tāni aham veda sarvāni na tvam vevta Padantapa Sri Bhagavan Vacha Bhuni me vyatitani Janmani tavacharjuna Anyaham veda sarvani Natvam veda padantapa Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Bhuni me vyatitani
Bhuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Janmani tava charjuna
Anyaham veda sarvani
Anyaham veda sarvani
Natvam vita parantapa
Natvam vita parantapa
Bhuni me vyatitāni
Janmāni tava charjuna
Anyaham veda sarvāni
Natvam
veda parantapa
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Bahuni me vyatitani
Bahuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Janmani tava charjuna
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Natvam veda parantapa
Natvam veda parantapa
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Bhuni
me vyatitani
Janmani
tava charjuna
Tanyaham
veda sarvani
Natvam
veda parantapa
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Bhuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Natvam
veda parantapa Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
The personality of Godhead said.
The
Bhuni,
many,
me,
of mine,
Vyatitani,
have passed,
Dhanmani,
burst,
Tava,
of yours,
Cha,
and also,
Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
Tani,
those,
Aham,
I.
Veda,
do know,
Sarvani,
all,
Na,
not,
Tvam,
you,
Veta,
no,
Parantapa,
O
subduer of the enemy.
The
Personality of Godhead said, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 533, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there,
Advaitamachutamanadimadantarupam Ajam Purana Purusham Navayoga Namcha Vede Sudurla Pamadurla Pamatma Pakto Govindamari Purusham Samaham Pajami.
I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood by even the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Samhita.
Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Samahang Vajami.
I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations, such as Rama, Nrisimha, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. In the Vedas also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color, yet still remains one. All those multiforms are understood by the pure unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabhamatmapattam. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord. And whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of these devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vibhishan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero who could subdue the enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchidananda body. He is Advaita, which means there's no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord himself explains in the following verse.
Om Okyamati Nidantasya Kiranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Maha Shri Chaitanya Manogastam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jathapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditamscha E Krishna Puruna Sindho Dina Mandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Gadha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Gadhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodhi Priye Vancha Kolpata Rupyascha Kapa Sindho Gyai Vacha Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is an answer to a question placed by Arjuna. The Lord had said, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Prottamam. I spoke this Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago to the sun god. So Arjuna asked, well, hold on, you and I are friends, contemporaries. How is it that millions of years ago you spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god? Suppose now I'm giving class, if I said, you know, a couple thousand years ago I gave this class to an audience in Rome at which Julius Caesar was present. Then you'd say, pardon me, but that was thousands of years ago. And you're, okay, you're old, you're 60-something, but you're not that old. So how is it that you could have spoken to that audience way back then? Reasonable question. So Krishna, Arjuna asked Krishna, how is it that millions of years ago, because he's thinking that I'm a person, you're a person, we're friends, how is this possible? Then, Bahuni me vititani janmani tumacharjana. This is not our first lifetime. People think in terms of this lifetime as being everything. I was born so many years ago, and before that, I didn't exist. Especially in the scientific worldview, everything starts at the time of conception, and then there's development, and then there's birth, and then we live our lifetimes, and then we die, and that's it. A beginning and an end, and it's all over. So that viewpoint is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhuni me vititani janmani tavacharjana. We all go through unlimited numbers of lifetimes. Prabhupada gives the comparison to a horse running by the window. These days we don't get horses running by the window, but a horse or a car. First you don't see it, then you see it, then you don't see it again. So it's only available to our vision in that one interval. But we understand that the horse or the car existed before it came into our view, and it will exist afterwards. So Lord Krishna says this one lifetime is not everything. We're going through many, many lives. Bhumi. I have and you have. Tanyaham Vedasarvam. But I know about all of them. Natvam Veta Parantava. And although you're the great conqueror of enemies, although you're a great hero, you don't remember. Our general situation is that we don't remember. I'm here and our memories are very short. I don't remember where I put my car keys. One time, I was traveling a lot, and I got off a flight. I was going through immigration, and the officer said, well, where are you coming in from? And I'd been traveling so much, I just looked at him. I had no idea where I was coming from. We forget. So, because of the change of body, we forget. Just a change of airplanes and I forget. But what to speak of changing this body? When we change the whole machinery, then we forget. Who my mother and father were, where I lived, what
what I was, what I was doing, who my friends were, what I liked, what I didn't like, whether I was rich or poor. All the details, or even the outline of my previous life, I forget.
Sometimes it's taken that, well, if you can't remember, then how do you know you were there? But we understand, we're all born in different circumstances. Someone's rich, someone's poor, someone's healthy, someone's diseased, someone's born in America, someone's born in India or China. So, why? According to the Vedic literature, it's because of our past life and our past activities. And if we don't accept that, then we have to say, well, it's just the way it is, by chance. Chance doesn't explain anything. Chance means I don't know. That's all. It's a sophisticated way of saying I don't know. So it doesn't explain anything. But the Vedic knowledge has explanatory value. We're in this situation because of where we were in our previous lifetime. I may not remember, but who here remembers when they were in the womb? Don't remember. Anyone remember? So does it mean we weren't there? We were all there. But we forget. So then, what to speak of the lifetime before that? We forget. So Srila Prabhupada indicates that in the previous lifetimes, Arjuna was also there with Krishna. But Arjuna forgot everything, and Krishna remembered everything in unlimited lifetimes, because Advaita, Achyuta. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's transcendental form. Our body and our self is different. So we're changing from one body to another. But Krishna's body and Krishna himself are Advaita, non-different. Even though he has unlimited forms, Anantarupa, they're all non-different. And Prabhupada gives the example of a Vaidurya gem. I don't know exactly what a Vaidurya gem is. When I was in junior high school, I had a ring which had an alexandrite stone. Anyone know alexandrite stone? It's a semi-precious, not even very semi, semi-semi-precious stone. You know, high school, junior high school level, semi-precious stone. But when you looked at it in one light, it was blue, and when you looked at it in another light, it was amber. Same stone, but according to the light, it would look quite different. So Krishna is like that. He's one person, but he appears in many different aspects. Sometimes he appears as a king, sometimes he appears as half lion and half man. Sometimes he appears as a fish, a tortoise, a swan, a sage. There are so many unlimited forms of the Lord. Sambhavami yuge. In this form, these forms, he appears in age after age. And he's still the same person, but with the capability of appearing in all of these different forms. We can't do that. Or we appear in one form after another, but there are bodily forms assumed from the material energy. And Krishna's forms are all Atmamaya. They're all manifested by his own transcendental power. So Prabhupada's point is that there's an obvious difference between Krishna and the living being. The impersonalist philosophers would like us to believe that there's no difference, that I'm God and you're God, we've just forgotten that we're God. And when we're liberated, then we'll remember, or we'll resume our position of knowledge and be on the perfect path. But Prabhupada points out that Arjuna is liberated, and he doesn't remember. Even if he were to remember, he'd still maybe remember one life, two lives, but he could never be in the same unlimited platform as Krishna. By the way, there are people who are interested in understanding their previous lives. They want to go to an astrologer or to a hypnotist or to a mystic and remember or find out what their previous life was. There's something called past lives therapy, by which one is supposed to be able to travel back to a previous life and find the origin of what's messing him up in this life. This life, I have trouble in relationships, or I'm shy, or I'm too aggressive, or I'm whatever my multitude of problems might be. They must come from a previous life. That's good. That's an insight. Some knowledge is there. It must come from a previous life. Good. Then, if I go back to that previous life, then I could find out that origin and fix the problem. Just go back to that life and go through it again, relive it, or desensitize myself to it, or understand it in a fresh light, and solve my problem. Just as sometimes in classical psychiatric treatment, the idea is to go back to my childhood, because my problems must have their origin in my childhood, and if I can go back and unmask those problems and see that incident again with fresh eyes, then I could rewire my psyche and be freed from so many problems. How well that works is open to question. I have a cousin who's a psychiatrist, and she's had patients who've been with her for like 30 years and still working on it. Anyway, this is a better insight that not only my childhood, but my previous life has an influence. But suppose I can go back to my previous life. Suppose. First of all, doubtful. Very doubtful. But suppose I can go back. That's only one lifetime. Bahuni Janmani. Krishna says we've been through thousands of lifetimes. So that problem of shyness, well, that was from life P for present, minus 352. And that other problem you have that you get anxious when you see rats, that's life P minus 475. And that problem that makes you always want to quarrel with your wife, that's life P minus... not so bad, 14. How many lives are you going to go back and work on? You can spend lifetimes working on your previous lifetimes. So in this way, people are wasting their time. Wasting their time. Trying to go back and fix so many problems. Here the indication is that if we want to fix our problem, rather than trying to know our previous life, we should try to know Krishna. Knowing my previous life will not help me.
Lord help.
Or suppose it in some way it helps me, how much will it help?
Not much.
But knowing Krishna will solve every problem. Chandma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chatva deham punarjanma naiti maneti sarva. Later in this chapter, not much later, Krishna will say that if one knows him, one can be freed from birth and death. And then all one's problems are solved. Janma karma cha me divyam. By knowing that Krishna's form is transcendental, that his qualities are transcendental, that his activities are transcendental, that his birth is transcendental, that everything about Krishna is divya, spiritual, one becomes liberated. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Tatvataha means factually, not just superficially. Yes, I know Krishna. We have many people that have seen the Krishna video series, and so they know Krishna. Or they've heard something here or there, so they know Krishna. But they don't know Krishna. They have so many misconceptions about Krishna. I'm also Krishna, you're also Krishna. Krishna was a great hero, Krishna was a human being, Krishna was this, Krishna was that. There were three Krishnas, there were two Krishnas. Krishna's mythological, Krishna's this, Krishna's that. Krishna represents X, whatever X might be. So they don't know Krishna, tatvata. Factually. To know Krishna factually, one has to understand through the from the devotee of Krishna, Hare Krishna, through the parampara system. Yeah, there's plenty of space. Come on. So we're advised to simply try to understand Krishna. And by understanding Krishna, every problem will be solved. Our birth and death problem will be solved. And along with that, every other problem. Otherwise, trying to solve it this way, trying to solve it that way, will not be effective. So, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, when Krishna's speaking, he's identified as Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And simply by understanding Krishna in this way, one can know everything. Yomam eva masambhuto janati purushottama sasarvavid avitimam sarvapave naparata. Knowing Krishna means that I'll serve Krishna. It's not simply abstract knowledge that yes, Krishna is God. But Krishna is God, and I am part of God. Mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So the business of the part is to serve the whole. Now I'm serving in some other way. But when I serve Krishna, then my life becomes successful. So these themes will be developed throughout the Bhagavad Gita, and we can try to
understand them for our benefit. And maybe we'll stop here and see what questions. By the way, do I have a cutoff time? A time by which everything must stop? What time?
When the shower leaves.
Yeah, but when will that be? Okay. Yes?
So, sometimes people question, well, if we can't remember our past lives,
what's the use?
Then how are we supposed to learn from them? If the business of reincarnation and karma, especially if we're suffering in this life because of something we did in a past life, then if we can't remember it, then how are we going to learn?
If I can't remember what happened
in
my past life, what I did,
miserable now.
How will it benefit me? You don't have to remember. Just like I got, suppose I get some disease. Jaundice or something. Then the physician says, bad water. Yeah, when, which? I don't remember which water I drank, when I drank it. But now I'm getting the information that by drinking bad water, you'll get jaundice or typhoid or what have you. So I learned something, that I have to be careful what water I drink. It's not necessary that I be able to remember precisely what it is. Or take a nice, we don't get jaundice so much in this country, but people get AIDS. So I may not remember. You know, who did I sleep with when? Of course, by the time you find out that you have AIDS, there's nothing you can do about it. Take some lesser sexually transmitted disease. You don't have to know. Well, it must have been this one, it must have been that one, it must have been January, or it must have been April. It's enough to know that by sleeping around, I've gotten this disease, and that's what happens. Not that I have to personally remember precisely what happened. Apart from that, this is also a criticism. If God is good and wants to help us, then why doesn't he help us remember? It's, as usual, it's his fault. On the other hand, if you could remember, life would be unbearable. And then it would again be his fault. In psychology, there are suppressed memories. There are things that we don't want to think about. And that we blot out of our memory. Too painful. Now, that's only one life. You know, all those embarrassments and painful experiences that we went through and we've thankfully forgotten about. Now, imagine. You have to remember this life, and the life before, and the life before that, and the life before that, and the life before that, and thousands and thousands of lifetimes. And all the pains and insults and ordeals and travails, it would be unbearable. And then we'd be sitting here saying, if God is a just God, then why does he force me to be here? But Krishna does things in a particular way, and our business is not to petition the management and say, what's wrong with you? It's to examine our own life and to say, what's wrong with me? Is that okay? Something else? Yes?
You talked about reincarnation. So, for instance, what I bear in this life is probably a result of the karma which you've done in the previous lives. So, whatever misfortune.
Oh, hold on one second. Could you give this button up? Now you could turn it off so we could hear it. Yeah.
So whatever misfortunes I had in this life are a result of the previous life. I was reading this book about mothers who have had kids taken away from them in traumatic circumstances. Now, the kid being taken away was probably the result of his or her life. But what about the mother? How does that interact?
Oh, karma gets very complicated. So the kid is taken away from the mother because of his past karma. Yeah? But the mother also loses her child because of her past karma. How all this fits together would require millions of supercomputers. But Krishna's energy works it all out. That, not only that, but maybe the child was your enemy in your last life, and now the child has left you or been taken away from you, and now you have to get it. You have to suffer. Sometimes the child causes suffering for the parents. Maybe they were mortal enemies in their previous life. We don't know. But all these karmic trajectories fit together in some exceedingly complex way. 472 people from different parts of New York City get on an airplane, and then the airplane crashes somewhere over the Atlantic. Now, why those particular 472 people? What brought them all together? Each one has his own individual karma, and each one was destined to die over the Atlantic on such and such date. These are the intricate workings of karma.
Speaking of karma, I heard somewhere about that there are certain kinds of, when we talk about immensities of lifetimes, that there are certain karmic experiences, like losing a child, or dying in a plane crash, or suffering in an earthquake, that not only maybe seen as the result of something in the past, but also as something that is sort of part of the whole evolutionary of consciousness, that we have this principle of the soul evolving in different species of life upwards. And I don't know this from any scriptural reference, but that there's some sort of education going on in this evolutionary system, that there's some sort of development taking place.
Not necessarily. There may be devolution. There may be,
but in the normal course of the way
I don't know that. I don't know that that's really so. That we learn, even in this life, so often we don't learn from our past experiences. Sometimes we do, but it's not by any means guaranteed. Do we learn from lifetimes and lifetimes? We may not be. We forget. Yeah, I became, now I'm 60, so I've learned 60-something. I've learned, you know, so many things that I did when I was younger that were stupid. I now know better. I've got, you know, I know that don't deal with people this way, don't deal with people that way. So many things. I know more about finance, I know more about human nature, I know more about so many things. And when I die, it's all obliterated. 100%. I become a nuclear physicist in this life, and the next life I wake up crying and then soiling my diapers.
But you might be a prodigy.
I might, but I might not. You know, I might be an imbecile. The professor of the previous life may be the imbecile of the next life. There's no guarantee, because it's not automatically carried over. Maybe in some extraordinary circumstance, but generally, gone. You know, how many of us at the age of 5, okay, Mozart was composing quite decent music at the age of 5, but that's extraordinary. most of us are playing with blocks and doing it badly. So it's obliterated. The educational value of going through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime is questionable. The way it appears to me is that we're just going round and round and round and not learning anything. And we evolve up and up and up and up, and then we do some vicious thing and we go down. It's a pointless kind of existence, material existence. Sometimes we go up, become demigods, sometimes we go down, we become fools, or go down to animal life. The hopeful picture in which we're just like evolving to higher and higher states till we finally is not really supported. Neha vikramana shosti prachipayana. Spiritually, whatever we get as progress, that's permanent. Everything else is wiped out. Everything else is wiped out. But my progress in Krishna consciousness or spiritual development, if in this life it's 10%, next life I start from 11%. In this life if it's 60%, next life I start from... Therefore, some people are more attracted to spiritual life. Some people automatically take up the principles of spiritual life. Some people automatically want to hear about Krishna or immediately take the chanting because of their previous life, because that's not lost. Krishna says it returns almost automatically, helplessly when it's attracted. I don't know why I can't, I just don't seem to fit in this world. That's good fortune. He doesn't fit until he finds the devotee of Krishna, and then everything starts to fit together because of his previous spiritual credit. Of course, my karma, that also is accrued pious credit or sinful debit. But my knowledge is not persistent unless it's spiritual knowledge.
We see in practical everyday examples that, for example, when a child does something wrong with the mother, punishes him. Punishment is used as a form of teaching us something.
Mm. But the teaching comes from Shastra, not from memory. We'd like it to be different, that we could remember everything and learn from everything, but that's not how the world's set up. We don't remember. But we're reminded. Krishna says, this is what happened. As the doctor says, bad water. Or, you know, whatever it may be. Then we know. Not because we remember, but because we're told by an expert, this is the problem. So we don't remember. I don't know, you know, whose pocket I picked in the previous life or who I did a good deed for. But Krishna explains how it works in the Bhagavad Gita. And when we accept the knowledge from Krishna, then we know. We don't have to dredge our memories or enter a hypnotic trance and transport ourselves to previous existences. We just have to take it on Krishna's authority, and then we know. Mm-hmm.
Since our capacity is so limited, how do we work at going back to Krishna?
Since our capacity is so limited, how do we work at going back to Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shortcut method. What are my instructions?
More questions.
Okay.
Plates on the altar.
Oh, okay.
Maharaj, in your lecture you were mentioning about we may hear about Krishna, but we may not know him. And it's only by knowing Krishna, tattvataha, that we are eligible to go back to him.
Yeah.
What does it really mean to know Krishna
It's a science. We have to hear from the right person. Hearing from professional reciters, hearing from Mayavadis, hearing from mundane professors will be ineffective or counterproductive. But when we hear from a devotee, we get knowledge. Just like you hear from someone in your family about your grandparents. So because the person you're hearing from is an authority, your mother, your father. So you get the knowledge. This is what it was. And then you just have to accept it. You'll know. So Krishna, to understand Krishna is, in one sense, not possible, because Krishna is unlimited. No one will understand everything about Krishna. But we can at least understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Prabhupada is drumming it in. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because we may think of Krishna as an ordinary person, we may think this, we may think that. But if one simply knows that Krishna is Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows everything. Prabhupada gives the example, if you know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, you know all the numbers. Everything else is just combination and permutation of that. So if we just know Krishna, we know everything. Not that we just know Krishna, we just know that Krishna is Purushottam. Simple thing. Prabhupada asked that. One boy wanted to be initiated. Just showed up out of like nowhere. Usually you join the society, you spend so many months, you attend the classes, you show that you're, a little sincere. Then the letter is sent asking for this boy to be initiated. Then the letter comes back. Since you've been recommended by your temple president, da-da-da-da-da. So someone shows up just at a lecture or something. Swamiji, can I be initiated? Prabhupada said, who is Krishna? Boy said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who are you? Servant of Krishna. Yes, you could be initiated.
Knowing is one thing, but like even after hearing lectures, many times happen that the life just remains the same, and
then we don't know.
Is it really right? So the question is that, is it just knowing is enough, or
knowing means action? Sasarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bhart. One who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the knower of everything. Bhajatima. Therefore, he engages in my service. Just Prabhupada gave the example that suppose you knew that your uncle were the governor of the state of Connecticut. Okay. But then you want, I should call him up on the phone and say, hey, remember me, I'm your nephew. And could I get a government job, or could I do something, or whatever. The practical action. Relationship. You want to revive the relationship. Otherwise, it's of theoretical value that my uncle is the governor of Connecticut. I'm his nephew. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. The connection was broken, 40 years ago. So what's the use? But if you reestablish the connection, then it may have value. So understanding that Krishna, what to speak of some governor, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, and I should revive that relationship. And relationship means activity. Prabhupada said devotional, that Krishna consciousness is not simply theoretical understanding. It's not just abstract theoretical understanding. It's action. Suppose if I said to you that, we've determined that because of a malfunction of the electrical system in the building. A fire has begun, and the fire is now out of control, and probably within the next 5 to 7 minutes, the house is going to go up in smoke. And therefore, anyone remaining in the house will be incinerated. And we regret that, but that's simply, we thought it was our duty to inform you. And thank you very much. So now you have knowledge. But if you really have knowledge, you'll head for the door. If you don't head for the door, you don't have knowledge. You have some sort of abstract, you know, it went into your ear, fire, incinerate, 5 to 7 minutes. But if you've actually understood, you know, you grab your kid, you just zip out of here as fast as you possibly can. That means you've understood. So what does it mean that I've understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It means let me serve Krishna.
So, honestly speaking, for me, I hear, you know, on a regular basis chant, but I don't take that message so urgently. I mean, on a basis of like, there's a fire and I need to find the exit door.
Well, you may gradually find it, we hope.
So what?
Within the next 5 to 7 minutes, you might.
So the question is, what restricts us from taking that message seriously?
Attachment. Prabhupada gave an example that someone was asked that, you know, why, if God wants us to go to the spiritual world, why is it so difficult? And the answer was given, I think King's minister or someone, he wrapped his arms around a pillar and said, get me out of here, get me out of here. But if I'm holding onto the pillar, how am I going to get out of here? So we want to go, but we want to stay. So Krishna consciousness means to increase our desire to go and to decrease our desire to stay. It means to become free from attachments. Bhita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamapashram bhava gana tapasa putama pavana. To get freed from attachment, fear, lust, anger. How is that possible? By becoming more attached to Krishna. Therefore, the chanting is the practical thing. We're getting the scientific information from books like Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then this chanting of Hare Krishna gives the practical experience. It gives practical realization. And the enables us to continue on the path, to develop on the path of serving Krishna. The hearing and chanting itself are service. And then from there, there's so many other things. So it's a cultivation. It's not just automatic. It requires it. We want to make money. How much effort do we put into it? How much concentration? How serious do we get? But we want to go back to Godhead. Yeah, when He desires.
Mm-hmm. What if you met a friend who was your same age and that friend...
Say again?
What if you met a friend who was your same age and he tells you that many, many births you and I have had, I remember all of them but you don't. I mean, how would you believe him?
I probably wouldn't. But Krishna... Of course, Arjuna is not an ordinary person, and Krishna is not an ordinary person. And in case Arjuna still had any doubts by the time the 11th chapter is over, and he's seen the universal form, he'll know that Krishna is not just another
buddy, but he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Apart from that, Arjuna has surrendered to Krishna. So he's accepting what Krishna says in a submissive mood. If we hear from the spiritual master, we will act. If our mood is a mood of submissive oral reception, if we're just hearing, let's see what he has to say, or, I don't believe that. You know, how much will we get? But if we go with the idea that this person knows, and the more I hear, the more I'll know, then you get so much knowledge. The Prabhupada gave the example, if a man is potent and a woman is fertile, by their combination, there'll be conception. So if when the spiritual master is bona fide, and the disciple is submissive, then by that combination, when the disciple hears and serves, surrenders, he'll get enlightenment, he'll get knowledge.
Mm-hmm. One more question. This is on behalf of my friend. Well, the friend's argument is that if I feel like chanting, I'll chant. You don't have to tell me. So what is the right way?
That's true.
If I feel like chanting,
if I feel like chanting, I'll chant. If I don't feel like chanting, I won't chant.
But then would it be like a regulative process that even if you don't feel like chanting, you should just chant anyways?
Well, at least he has to feel that it's a regulative process, I should do it. You can't force him. You can lead a horse to water. You can't force your friend to chant Hare Krishna. So it's true. But from the sound of it, he's therefore trying to use that as a way to avoid Krishna. You know, I'll automatically take it up in due time. In so many other departments, he's happy to get a warning, or he's benefited to get a warning, or to get an opportunity if he's told that. We have a friend whose job is to look through public records and find inheritances that have been bestowed upon unknowing heirs. My uncle's left me some money and I don't know about it. So his job is to look through public records. Then he calls me up and says, do you know that your uncle has left you this much? And for a small fee, I'll do all the work for you and you get the money. So if I called your friend with an offer like that, would he say, well, you know, when I'm interested and I'm ready.
When I feel like it,
you won't have to tell me. If it's money, he'll jump for it. If it's freedom from birth and death, he'll say, well, you know, everything is. That's his misfortune. So you're trying to make him fortunate, and he's saying, listen, I'll become fortunate when I'm meant to be fortunate. He's a fool. So you can go on trying to help him. That's kind of you. Or you can also say, I'm wasting time on this friend. There's other people who will be more interested. And go on to the next one. Up to you.
Back to the previous lives. So sometimes we hear stories of young children who appear to have remembered their previous life.
There's a large body of literature about that, mostly. Of course, there's a lot of junk about that out also, but high quality research on the subject has been done at the University of Virginia Department of Personality Studies, mainly by the late Ian Stevenson, and published in large volumes of books, which for those who are interested in empiric evidence gives strong indications for the existence of reincarnation. For those who are looking for empiric evidence are advised that there is such evidence there. I think Stephen Gould, the well-known scientist, said that in the realm of paranormal stuff, there were two things that seemed to have legs, seemed to have something going for them. And one of them was cases of children who seem to remember past lives. Fascinating stuff.
Is it just an anomaly, or?
Yeah, definitely an anomaly, because the number of children who seem to remember past lives as against the number of children who don't is very small, but significant nonetheless. And by the way, those who do seem to remember past lives don't show any advantage from it. It's not that they are free from hang-ups and everything is rosy for them. It doesn't seem to benefit them at all.
They generally forget also.
And they forget.
The time they get a little older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said there were two things?
I forget what the other one was.
Out of body?
No, it was... I think it was the statistical evidence for psychokinesis. Over many, many trials, the statistical indication that simply by thinking of something, simply by thought alone, one can influence natural processes has been statistically demonstrated again and again and again.
Is that the research where they have a list of like destinations? And
No, that's remote viewing.
Oh.
But at Princeton, they did a lot of work on this. Big, typical thing. You create a machine, and the machine makes lights go around in a clockwise or counterclockwise according to the rate of decay of some radioisotope. It's linked up by some electrical system. And according to the rate of decay, it will go this way or that way. So that's supposed to be more or less random stuff. And someone is asked to think of it going the opposite way. We want those lights to go in the opposite direction. And there's statistical evidence that there's a very slight extent to which that will happen. It's not 50% or something. It's a very small percentage, but it's a statistically significant percentage, which indicates something seems to be happening here. And in fact, there's what's called the sheep-goat effect. For people who believe that it works, it tends to work more. And for people who disbelieve it, it seems to work less than the average. They're below the baseline. The goats are below the baseline, the sheep are above the baseline. So that also seems to reinforce the idea that something is going on, which of course implies that there's something other than this body working in material nature. There seems to be something more subtle, which is interesting because, of course, from the Vedic literature, that's routine knowledge. The mind is different from the body, and consciousness is different from the mind. And science is working at this. And of course, even though, like your friend there, even though so much evidence is there for it, you can't get a job doing this stuff because it's poo-pooed by the scientific establishment. The data doesn't matter. What matters is that this goes contrary to established knowledge. So it's hard to get people to accept what's demonstrably true. If they're interested, they'll be interested. Kon Bhagyavanjeev, a fortunate person will come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, we're trying to make people fortunate as far as possible. We give them books, we give them prasadam, we give them the chanting. You may not be ready for it. We're going to chant anyway. And it's going to enter your ears whether you like it or not. Well, that's good. The devotees are interested in making unfortunate people fortunate. Okay, conch is going to blow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.